Hello and welcome to the Come Fly With Me podcast, where I discuss dream holiday destinations and career plans with my guests. I'm your host and pilot, Kenneth Fairweather, and today I'll be talking with former Wallabies and Super Rugby player, Laurie Weeks. Laurie is from the inner west of Sydney and recently moved back to his hometown after many years away. He attended boarding school at St. Joseph's College and went on to study at Sydney University, where he undertook a Bachelor of Arts and Science. He signed with the Queensland Reds in 2009 and became Rookie of the Year in what was then the Super 14 competition. After 2 years with the Reds, he moved to Melbourne and was the first signing for the newly created Melbourne Rebels. His debut for the Wallabies came in 2014, and by 2017 he had amassed 100 Super Rugby caps. Laurie hung up his boots the following year, but is still heavily involved in the sport and is now coaching at his alma mater. He has travelled all around the world and seen some beautiful places, but there is no place that he enjoyed more than Cuba. It's time to take a deeper look into Laurie's decorated rugby career and discover what he loves about the Pearl of the Antilles. Make sure to pack some sunscreen, and as always, enjoy the ride. Welcome to Check In, Laurie. Where are we going today?
I've been there before, but I'd love to go back in a heartbeat. Cuba. I loved it. It's definitely a vibe about the place. Great weather, cheap drinks.
Nice.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. Yeah.
Fantastic. When did you go to Cuba?
2014. Yeah. 2014. So end of 2014, I did an all Mexico Cuba tour, and it was unreal. Unreal.
And where would you go in Cuba if you had a chance to go again?
So I went to Havana last time I went there, and I was only there for a couple of days, but did a few day trips out of the city. If I had to go back, I think I'd explore the rest of the island, mate. I think I just saw so many photos of the rest of the island, and I was so jealous that I couldn't actually go experience it. So it's always been on the bucket list.
It appears that half of Laurie's heart is in Havana, Unana. Let's see where the other half of his heart lies as we listen to where he grew up. Whereabouts did you grow up, Laurie?
I'm from Sydney originally. Grew up in the inner west here in Sydney. And then, funnily enough, for the last sort of 10 years, last 12 years actually, I've been out of Sydney. So I moved back here at the start of 2021. And yeah, it's just been a whole new thing adjusting back into life here, but loving it so far. It's been awesome. Yeah.
How did you find the lockdown?
Not great, mate. I did the whole lockdown in my apartment alone with my sausage dog. So in my apartment in Melbourne, so it was about 9 months straight, on and off. It wasn't great, but definitely found a new sort of ways to deal with things like that. I think I got into running, and I hate running, and I've always hated running. And it's funny because it was my job for so long, but I got into that and did a lot of long distance running and just really loved it, and it was just one way to sort of focus on and having a goal for the day.
And is the lockdown part of the reason that you decided to move back to Sydney?
Absolutely. I think during that time I'd been away from Sydney for so long, so I was like, look, it's time to go back. And then I've got three little nieces who are growing up, and I was just like, look, I'm missing out on a lot of things with my family, so I just thought it'd be a really good time to get back. And it's been a great move. It's been an unreal move.
When Laurie was growing up in Sydney, there were two people that were particularly influential in his rugby career. The first, brother Anthony Boyd.
I'd say the biggest influence would be my first 15 coach at Joey's, Brother Anthony Boyd. He's pretty sort of well-known here in Sydney. He's obviously had a lot of quality rugby players go through his tutelage. Is that the word? He's a fantastic man. And I think he definitely sort of instilled a mindset of hard work and getting what you deserve through the work that you put in. So yeah, definitely he's probably the biggest influence rugby-wise, yeah.
The other, his deputy headmaster at primary school, who was an old boy of St. Joseph's College.
huge reason why I went to school at Joey's, and I guess sort of live the life I'm living now. So it's great, yeah.
How did you find the experience of, because you went to boarding school, yeah, so
yes,
away from home for a while at time.
Yeah, so this is the funny thing. Like, I went to boarding school, but it was 20 minutes up the road. Okay. I think for where that school's situated, there's a lot of guys who actually live very, very close to the school. Oh, I loved it. Well, it really sort of defining the morbid experience for me anyway.
Laurie cut down his commute time by 15 minutes as he moved from St. Joseph's College to Sydney University.
Again, so the club was five minutes up the road from my house. So it was like, it was sort of a no-brainer going and playing for Sydney. In the end, it was a great decision because Sydney has this sort of culture of hard work trumps all. So they're definitely by far the hardest workers in the room. And so, yeah, look, for me, that was a great move moving there.
And is it true that Sydney University, they produce probably some of the best rugby players? They've had quite a lot of Wallabies players.
Yeah. And I definitely, more in recent times, there's a long period there where, well, first grade and entire second grade were all Super Rugby players. It was a bit absurd for a while. But like I said, mate, look, there's a reason they have that success. A lot of it comes down to hard work. It's funny, I was actually talking to some mates about this over the weekend. A lot of it does come down to the hard work and the effort and the commitment that's put in. So look, they do train like a professional setup and approach everything in that way. So I think that's a big part of the reason they get to the successes on the field.
Did you play rugby league before you got into rugby?
I did. I played rugby league up until I was about 16. I started playing rugby union when I was 13 at high school. So, I knew from day one, once I started playing rugby union, that I enjoyed it a lot more. For me, it's still true to this day. There's a lot more to it. It's a lot more technical. And I just like how the game's played. And it flows, and people will probably yell at me for saying this, but I find rugby league a bit one-dimensional. It's just forward, back, forward, back, forward, back. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I still sort of struggle to watch rugby league these days.
And are you, or were you, coaching at Sydney University?
Yes. I'm currently coaching at uni. Last year, I was doing a lot of the scrum stuff, and I moved into that this year, but sort of specifically with the front row, because we've also now got a full-time forwards coach. But yeah, look, mate, yeah, it's a good way to give back. So also for me, just sort of fills that hole, the social hole of rugby, where you used to just be around your mates all the time. Even though these guys are comparatively kids, like mid to early 20s, I still like being in that environment. Love the competition, and yeah, look, sort of striving for a goal each week, win or lose. You know, you can put it behind you and just move on to the next one.
And do you feel like coaching is sort of allowed you to see rugby in a different sort of way, a bit more analytical?
100%. I think I watch it way more with through a different lens, looking at structures and looking at sort of opportunities to attack or how to improve our game. I probably should have done that more as a rugby player. It's like if I had coached, and it's one suggestion I'd make to anyone who plays any sport, like if you can do a bit of coaching while you're playing, you'd observe the game differently. You'll understand what your coaches are trying to say to you. I think that was one of the first things I realized, is that I was spouting the exact same things coaches were yelling at me. And I was like, oh, this is all makes sense now. but I also, it's funny, like I also, now that I've retired, I can actually watch rugby as a fan, and I really enjoy that. I'm not critical of the players or anyone else. I just enjoy the game for what it is.
Now that we've heard about Laurie's early life and his influences in rugby, let's find out about when he found his calling. This is a final boarding call for Laurie Weeks. Laurie, Your flight to Cuba awaits. When did you know that you wanted to do rugby as a job?
Pretty early on, mate. As a kid, I think I was always bigger than everyone else. So I was always doing well. I always loved it and always enjoyed being in part of a team. And when you, as a kid, I always used to go to league games. And so even watching them, I was like, that's exactly what I want to do when I get older. So having a goal as a kid's actually pretty good. It sort of kept me focused, and I always had that in the back of mind. That's what I want to do when I grow up. So it's funny, you get to 30, and once you've done it, then you're like, this big world's ahead of you, and you're like, all right, what do we do now? It's I was saying that to someone the other day. It's like, once you retire, mate, it's you're not just retiring from the 10 years of professional rugby, you're retiring from the 30 years of wanting to be a rugby player. So it's quite a big sort of eye-opener and a big new challenge, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously your focus all that time is solely on rugby. And then, exactly. Then you that's, have that's to... Yeah.
Identity and personality, and that's everything. That's all your friends know you as. Mm. And then once that changes, that's all part of the game. I think I was pretty aware of how it ends and how it goes from day one. So as long as you're sort of keep an open mind about it and are aware of what's going to happen, it's not that much of a surprise for you.
So your first professional rugby game was that with the Queensland Reds?
It was with the Reds and on tour in South Africa. So in Pretoria, hell of a place, mate. It's almost like a rural town, but they just love their rugby. And it's a hell of a place to play. It's at altitude, so you can't breathe. But I think when you're playing your first game, all that goes out the window, and you just want to get out there and have some fun and get involved.
What's the training like? Obviously, like to prepare for altitude, the training must be quite intense leading up to that.
You can't really do it. They have altitude rooms for like AFL and things like that, but not that we didn't have them at the Reds anyway. So look, it's a... You just got to mentally turn up. If anything, mate, it's a mental game. You just got to go out there. I think if you start thinking about how tired you are, more often than not, you're going to become tired. So, like I said, mate, I was just really excited to get out there and get my first game. So all that went out the window anyway.
And you must have been back to South Africa quite a lot over the years with Super Rugby.
Yeah. So would go once a year for about 10 years. Spent 2 weeks over there most times. Brilliant. Love the place. Cape Town is probably my favourite place. It's a completely different lifestyle, environment, different people. And yeah, loved it. I think once a week you'd be able to do an activity on your own. So they'd organise something, whether it's a... going to like a game park and just having a look around, or just those shark diving, just do really cool stuff like that. So awesome. Yeah. Except for the 1 week we did great white shark diving. So we're in the cages with the great whites just swimming around us. But we did it on a Wednesday before a Saturday game, and a whole bunch of guys got seasick and couldn't train the next day. So yeah, it probably didn't work in our favour, to be honest.
Is that something, shark diving, have you ever thought about doing that previously, or is it just you had the opportunity?
I had the opportunity. Yeah. Oh, but look, if you're in South Africa and someone says, let's go swim diving with great white sharks, maybe a normal person wouldn't say that's awesome, but yeah, I was like, I can't wait to do it, it'd be awesome. Yeah, just a great experience.
Identity is so important to help us understand ourselves and move forward in life. It is a difficult thing to attach so much of yourself to something, whatever it is, to then have to let it go. Laurie's identity was hugely connected with rugby, but thankfully he was mentally prepared for the day his rugby playing days would come to an end. And this is likely a huge part of the reason that he continues to find enjoyment and success in his current endeavours. It is a good lesson to any up-and-coming sports person to remember to always keep a balance with life and sport. When do you feel that your rugby career started to take off?
Do you know what? It was definitely the probably after my first game for the Reds. I think once I sort of realised I did belong out on that field and I was up to standard, I think confidence takes off from there and you just go nuts. Played pretty much every game for the first 2 years there in Queensland and before I moved to Melbourne. And it was definitely probably that first game.
Was that 2009 that you started?
2009. Yes, yes.
And you got Rookie of the Year?
Yes. It was a good year. Yeah. It was a good year. Unexpected, but awesome. But again, I kind of don't do things for the accolades. I do just, it's a weird one. I do things that I enjoy doing. When I'm having fun, that's probably when I'm most successful.
And your move to the Melbourne Rebels, you were the first signing for their team. What was that like? That must have been quite exciting.
I think anytime you set up a new team, it has its challenges. But in saying that, I think that was all part of the fun. It was like we're creating something new, I guess, a platform for future teams and create a history and culture. But the guys we moved down there with lifelong friends. So I loved it.
And then you set up home in Melbourne for a few years. How long did you end up being with the Melbourne Rebels?
So playing was 8 years and then 2 years working there. 2019 and 2020, well, 2020 was obviously COVID. So that was cut short. But 8 years on the field, 2 years off the field. I tell you, by the end of it, it was time to go. Well and truly time to go. So it was a long time at the one club, yeah.
What are your memories from your Wallabies debut against France?
Not many, because I was only on for 5 minutes and I can't remember a thing. I just remember being so excited when I ran out there that I just ran to every ruck and tried to do everything. All I know is that we had two good scrums and we won the game. So, it was fantastic. My family were there. My friends from school were there. It was unreal, unreal.
You had one other game for the Wallabies?
I was lucky enough to have the debut in Melbourne, but then my second game was in Sydney. So all my friends who were in Sydney were able to come to that game as well. And to be able to, I think we packed out the football stadium there. So it was like 40, 50,000 people or something. It was unreal experience. And it was funny, every time I came to Sydney in the past, it was as the opposition. So it was good coming to Sydney and being the home team for once. Because it is my home.
Laurie finished on 2 caps for the Wallabies and went on to amass 107 caps in the Super Rugby competition. In 2017, he collected his 100th Super Rugby cap.
In 2017, it was funny. We didn't have a great year for the Rebels. I think we only won one game that year. That was the game. So that was the game that we won. So
good game to win.
Yeah, great game to win. It's funny. I used to hate sort of celebrating milestone games because in the past with the Rebels, anytime there's a milestone game, we seem to have lost it by a lot. So I didn't really want to celebrate it, but we got this. We got up for this one. It's got kind of the reverse where we lost every other game except this one.
Laurie was the first player to run out on the pitch in his 100th game, and he definitely hasn't run out of good things to say about the sport he loves. Next, he talks about what he enjoyed most about playing rugby professionally.
By far and away is being able to do a job that's not only like physically active, but with your mates and the people around you. So I loved for most of the time in Melbourne, the best part of my day was turning up to training in the morning and seeing everyone. I'll say that every single time. Turning up was like my favorite part of the day. And so I think when you're in an environment like that and experiencing that, you know, you're doing the right thing. If you've got the right personalities in the mix, you get the perfect sort of mixture of like hard work and having fun. And I think that's the formula. That's the formula, if you want.
And do you feel like you've got that now with your recruitment job and with
Do you know
coaching and.
what? It's very similar. It's which is great. Again, it's challenging in its own way. The job itself, but look, it's a new experience. I'm 12 months into the job now, and I'm still learning, which is great. But in terms of the team we have here, oh yeah, very very good. I really really enjoy it, and I think it's a diverse sort of group of people, and everyone sort of adds in their own way, and I really enjoy it.
We've heard a bit about Laurie's time with the Queensland Reds, Melbourne Rebels and the Wallabies, and how he managed his retirement from rugby. Now let's take a listen to how he manages daily life post-rugby, what he likes to do while travelling, some of his favourite music, and the best places he's travelled to. Do you find your routine quite different now compared with when you were playing? Or is there similarities within the routine?
Mate, do you know what? It's very similar. Well, once your rugby's professional, like say you're in there all day. In terms of routine, now I go to the gym outside of work hours. So it's like I think that's one thing. There's one thing they definitely take for granted as a player is that you're paid to stay fit. Wait, once you come into the big bad real world,
now you have to pay
you
to
gotta,
stay.
you gotta yeah, you gotta do it in your own time. But look, I like I said before, mate, I was fortunate enough to get to the position that I didn't want to play rugby anymore. Many people don't get that opportunity. I think their career gets cut short, not on their terms, not when they're ready. I was very lucky that I think the last thing I wanted to do was put the boots on and go on a rugby field. So, yeah, no, it was the right time for me.
And was that more about being physically tired or is it mentally as well that was?
It's both. It's both. I think once you lose it mentally, your body follows shortly after. I think that's where I was at. Mentally, just didn't want to be there, and physically, my body. I felt like my body gave up. Once I stopped playing, I got into, like I said, in COVID, started doing running, and my body never felt better. So I think like on reflection, I was like, do you know what? It was definitely the fact that mentally I just didn't want to be there, and my body sort of followed suit. And like I'm probably in as good shape now as I was, probably better shape now than I was when I was playing rugby. And I think a lot of it has to do with actually enjoying what I'm doing.
As well as enjoying his time visiting South Africa, Laurie has had the opportunity to see a number of other amazing places around the world.
I went to Tokyo. Japan is out of this world. The people are super kind, considerate. The food's amazing. And I just loved the city. I loved it. Trying to think if there anywhere else. But yeah, no, Japan was probably the best place I've traveled with the rugby, yeah. Yeah, it's unreal. It's unreal. And just the train system and everything in the towns. So it's so beautiful. I'd love to spend some more time there as well. On my last trip before COVID was to the 2019 World Cup in Japan.
When you're on a flight, do you like to read or watch a movie?
That's a good question. I always take a book, but I never read the book. When you go to the little news agencies on the way through, always buy a book, but then never read the book. I just watch movies that I've watched 20 times before. If I find something that I like, I stick with it. Yeah, I think there's a trend here. As long as I'm happy, if I know it works for me, I'll keep doing it.
I saw in an interview that you did with the Melbourne Rebels that you said your favorite song at the time, this was I think 10 years ago now maybe, but your favorite song at the time was Today Was a Fairy Tale by Taylor Swift. Is that still the case?
That's a banger.
Yeah, it is a great song.
That's a banger. That's a banger. I love that song. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I actually really do love that song. Is it my favorite song right now? Probably not. But yeah, don't get me wrong, I still really like that
And have you ever seen Taylor Swift in concert?
Nah, I haven't actually. I haven't. Oh, do you know what? I was actually going to go with a bunch of the Rebels boys in 2016. I think she was touring Melbourne. But we didn't end up going.
So, do you have a playlist that you listen to when you're traveling?
I did. This is the embarrassing thing. I'm telling you. Like the song, my pregame songs. I like I said. I don't need to get fired up. I just need to feel happy when I'm walking out onto the field, and I'll do my best work. So it's just any songs that I don't know. You got the energy up, got me smiling, and got me like I'm talking like walking on sunshine and like tracks like that. There was a while there where I think Kesha was a yeah there was a bit of Kesha on the playlist as well.
So you quite like a top 40.
Oh mate, I'm fine with that, mate. I'm fine with that. Look, in saying that, I have my moments. I'm a big Kid Cudi, Kanye West fan. But really enjoy them. But yeah, no, I'm like I said, top 40 stuff is fine for me as well.
We have arrived in Cuba. Let's discover what Laurie has planned for the future and what he would like to do while exploring this beautiful island. Now that you're in Cuba, where do you plan to stay and venture around?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a couple of nights in Havana. There's a couple of bars that I've been to previously I'd like to go back and visit. And then do you know what I want to do is bike tour of pretty much most of the island. I think I saw last time I was there, I saw people, they just pack their packs and just ride through and go as far as they can go. I know I'd love to do that. Pretty much everyone's house on the island is a hotel. You can stay at pretty much anyone's house, and that's exactly what I do. Just go from one end to the other.
What are your plans for the future in terms of like coaching and
So, mate, that's a
recruitment?
very good question. Again, I'm 12 months into this new role. Essentially, still put us pretty fresh out of a rugby career. So, well, I guess watch this space. I don't know yet, mate. Like, look, I'm happy with what I'm doing. I enjoy being in Sydney, and I enjoy my new career.
Well, I think that's about it, Laurie. Thank you
Oh,
very
fantastic,
much
mate. No, thank you. That
for
was
that.
awesome.
Thank you, Laurie, for taking the time to talk to me. It was an absolute pleasure. Today was indeed a fairy tale. That was Laurie Weeks, ladies and gentlemen. I hope this helped you through your morning commute, lunchtime run, or whatever you find yourself doing when listening to your podcasts. If you'd like to get a little more insight into Cuba and find out whether Laurie chose a window or aisle seat, head on over to my website, comeflywithmepodcast.com. And if you enjoyed this conversation, follow me at Come Fly With Me Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and Come Fly Podcast on Twitter to get further updates on the podcast. I have been your host and pilot, Kenneth Fairweather, and it was a pleasure having you on board. Safe travels, everyone.